This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Nicola Moore, who is the Assistant Director of the Institute for Economic Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get her thoughts on a number of critical economic headlines that are breaking, including the president's ideas for helping struggling homeowners meet their mortgage payments, the latest numbers from the Congressional Budget Office on where our debt is headed, and as well as some less than encouraging news about where Social Security is right now. Nicola, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much for your time today. Let's start with the housing front. Now that the major health care votes are behind us, the president once again can focus on the housing situation. And one of the things we're hearing is that for unemployed folks, he's asking lenders either to allow them to just miss a few months or at least radically reduce the amount they're expected to pay right now. First of all, can he just do that? Secondly, what's the impact of that if it happens?
Well, you know, I'm actually not a housing policy expert, so I can't comment too deeply on that. But I think one of the things that we always really want to be careful about is any kind of heavy-handed government interference in any sort of market, particularly in the housing market when it's in a precarious state. By saying, for instance, that people can miss more payments, it's likely going to incite more and more of that behavior when what we should be trying to do is to focus on people actually repaying those loans when we're already having a difficult situation in the housing market.
And just a quick follow-up, what about the banks? If they're not getting the money, they're not exactly, at least they weren't a few months ago, the most stable institutions on earth. So if they're having to give more and more grace here, what's the impact on them potentially?
No, it's potentially very harmful. I mean, I will say it's good that banks do appear to be have turned the corner in terms of their financial status, and some of the jumpiness in the market appears to have settled out quite a bit. But, I mean, you do never know when that situation can reverse itself, so it's always good to exercise caution in that regard.
Another issue that we're hearing about is from the Congressional Budget Office, which, of course, has been in the headlines a lot due to its different estimates on the various health care bills before we finally got done with that process. Now it's projecting that by 10 years from now, just 10 years from now in the year 2020, our national debt will comprise 90% of the gross domestic product. Compare that with where we are now and just how damaging that could potentially be.
Yeah, compared to where we are now, we're actually at 53% of the economy. And I mean, that alone should be scary enough. But once you hit a percentage, once you hit 90% of the economy, that's very, very, very dangerous territory. That's the kind of economic projection where, for instance, some of your creditors are going to start wondering whether or not you're going to end up paying that debt back. Now, I think that the U.S. will do that and not default, but one of the things that we may end up needing to do is pay our creditors much higher rates of interest, which then makes our debt and deficits more and more expensive. So this is a very bad situation indeed.
If you look at the projected deficits for the next 10 years, it's pretty much about $1 trillion a year, in some cases a little bit less, for the next 10 years. Is there any significant way that that can be reduced?
Well, the most significant thing that we need to do, quite frankly, is reform entitlement programs. And by those, I mean Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now, unfortunately, with the passage of the new health care bill, that's very likely, especially in the short term, to make some of the deficit situations much, much worse. Indeed, that was part of the Congressional Budget Office's analysis in terms of why their estimation of President Obama's deficits was so much higher than the administration. The administration decided to ignore the health care bill that was coming down the pike. But the reason I say that we need to deal with entitlements is that those are the largest and fastest growing portions of the budget. So if we want to talk about getting spending and deficits under control, we have to deal with those programs.
What about the issue of inflation? How would that impact our ability to deal with the debt and, I guess, even to a greater extent, the larger economy?
Well, if you could potentially sort of inflate your way out of the debt by making it cheaper. However, that would have very, very, very negative impacts on the broader economy because the price level for everyone, whether they want to buy bread and milk at the grocery store or a house to make some kind of investment, would go up. And that's very bad for consumers.
You mentioned one of the key entitlement reforms we need to address is Social Security, something President Bush tried a few years ago and didn't get very far. We're also hearing that Social Security is now paying out more than it's taking in, an estimation that I believe was supposed to still be a few years from now. What's happened there?
That's true. It was supposed to come from 6 to 10 years from now, and it's here now instead. one of their two really main drivers in that. The first is, of course, that because unemployment is so high, that means there are fewer workers paying payroll tax dollars into the Social Security system. And the payroll tax dollars today are what are used to pay for benefits for retirees today. So as those tax dollars go down, there's less money available to fund benefits. A second issue, although a smaller component of that, is the fact that some retirees, because of the precariousness of the economy, are choosing, or some workers, I should say, are choosing to retire earlier than they might otherwise have done so. So they are, instead of contributing to payroll tax revenues, they're becoming benefit collectors and taking out of the Social Security system. So both of those features are driving those early deficits.
This is probably not a factor in these projections since it's just been talked about and passed by Congress, and that's encouraging job creation by allowing a payroll tax holiday, at least for the first year, on previously unemployed workers brought back into the workforce. Is that likely to have much of an impact on this?
Well, what it would actually do is make the deficit situation in Social Security far, far worse, simply because what would happen is that all of that revenue would, that's going into the system to pay benefits, would simply cease to exist. Now, that isn't to say that tax incentives and tax cuts shouldn't be a part of a broader stimulus plan. However, it is to say that focusing solely on cutting payroll taxes would do further harm to the Social Security deficit situation in isolation.
Real quickly, which is probably impossible given an issue of this complexity, but in about 60 seconds or so, what are the keys to meaningful Social Security reform?
The keys to meaningful Social Security reform, as to all entitlement reform, including Medicare and Medicaid, I would say are first and foremost changing the budget process regarding those programs. Entitlements are known as mandatory spending, which means they get funded first and they're not part of an annual budget debate. They grow on autopilot and Congress never even thinks about these programs when they're thinking about all of the other annual spending. And for instance, when the president puts together his budget and Congress puts together their budget resolution, those programs are simply ignored. So we need to change that, and we need to change it by doing the following. The first is putting the programs on real long-term budgets, setting a level of gross domestic product that we're willing to pay for these programs, and then restructuring the programs so that they hit those limits, rather than just letting them grow according to some autopilot formula that's already set. The second thing that we need to do is encourage more personal responsibility with retirement programs. I would say keyly, one element is going to be raising the eligibility age for these programs. Individuals can always retire whenever they want, but in terms of when they can collect government benefits, that needs to be moved up, both for Social Security and for Medicare, to help contribute to the solvency of these programs. And in addition, individuals should save more for themselves, either in 401ks, IRAs, or health savings accounts, to help fund these benefits on their own rather than relying on the government.
A whole lot more major debates to come if this is going to be addressed in a serious way. Nicola, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Nicola Moore, Assistant Director of the Institute for Economic Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.